I'm David Westerveld. I work for Florida Department of Agriculture Consumer Service, Chief of Apiary Inspection. Born and raised originally out of Umatilla, Florida, about fifth generation from there. So,
let's start there. Tell us a little about your department and what you're doing.
All right. Our department is actually 13 inspectors. Right now we're down a couple inspectors, hoping to hire some new ones. But our actual main job is inspecting and registering the 3,000 beekeepers in the state of Florida. And right now we're very strong into other research that's involved in Florida beekeeping or beekeeping in a whole throughout the nation. So,
you know, when you look at the bee situation and colony collapse disorder and all these various issues, it's pretty obvious bees and the bee industry is under some pretty serious stresses. And you made a comment about government here to help you, but in your case, you truly are. I mean, the beekeeper industry really needs that research and that government support right now, doesn't it?
Right. Most of the time, your agriculture people do not like the government telling them what regulations they got to follow through. We're actually there to help the bee industry. Now, if there is a problem, we've got the regulations or teeth in our laws to allow us to put, you know, quarantines or anything we feel fit to do. But we would sooner work with the industry to help them along through their problems. Some of the biggest problems we foresee right now, like I mentioned earlier, was a bee coming out of South Africa. It's a capensis. It has a uniqueness that it's like a parasitic queen that goes into the hive, takes over any other hive except their own, and causes that hive to deplete down. So that's one of the worst problems or nightmares we have right now if that was to come into Florida or in the United States. So,
in terms of colony collapse disorder, we've obviously a tremendous amount of news in the mainstream media and elsewhere about this issue. Are you understanding it better? I mean, are we in deep trouble? Are we managing our way around it for now until research can give us more answers? Where do we stand with this whole CCD thing?
I think actually CCD is actually describing a set of symptoms, and the problem lies that there's no organism or nothing that we can find so far. It seems to be a combination. So if you can remove one part of that, that's, you know, helping create a healthier bee. One thing, the pros and the cons on CCD I like to look at, because the pros are it's actually gotten more people interested in beekeeping, which shows a false number in one sense that we have more bees in the state of Florida than we've ever had. But at the same time, it's been a big, huge struggle for the beekeepers or commercial ones that lose 40 or 50%, they can't keep going with those losses. You know, a 10% loss they can recover from easily. They expect that. Where they're having 40 or 50%, they can recover, but it, you know, eats up all their change in their pocketbook. So,
farmers, obviously, you know the routine. It's a 24/7 job, especially during the season. Are they getting the information about this particular issue they need? Obviously, they're dependent on these bees in Florida and elsewhere. But are they getting the information they need and enough of it? And are they informed enough to play a role properly, you know, in mass in terms of the farm audience out there? Are they getting what they need from you guys and responding accordingly?
The beekeepers, when you think of your commercial beekeepers in Florida, there's really about 250 of them. And the other sideline operations, the niche pollinators make up the rest of the 3,000. So when you start looking at that, yes, they're getting the word out there. Most of your commercial beekeepers belong to either like Farm Bureau or some other organization that they're actually pushing the information, your fruit and vegetable growers. That's some of my part of going out to the fruit and vegetable meetings, anything with Farm Bureau, to meet with them and get that information out there.
Let's connect the dots for the other side of the fence, the urban side. 250 beekeepers, all this money going into program, 13 inspectors needing more, budget problems in the state, going broke on the tax structure deal. Gosh, why bother with 250 guys for all this trouble? You better connect those dots to people who like to eat.
Actually, that's the biggest part of ours, being at the fair, explaining to the people, you know, one-third of their food's directly related to our honeybees pollinating them. If we don't keep a healthy industry, we can lose that. We'll all go on a diet. We'll survive off of corn, wheat, and rice and your grains. But then we'll start losing our clothes. Well, I guess we can wear polyester or something else, but cotton and some of the other fibers require bees to pollinate. Those are some of the marks that they don't understand about, you know. Yeah, we enjoy our fruits and vegetables, which are most of what needs to be pollinated, but your condiments, like cucumbers for relish, your onions, if we don't have the bees to pollinate onions, you don't get the seed crop. It's one of the worst tasting honeys you'll ever try. It and carrot are horrible, but the bees enjoy them.
So, you know, we like our nuts too, and I understand there's quite a connection. You talk about 250 beekeepers and so many beehives in Florida, but those aren't necessarily resident beehives. They travel around a lot, and there's an interesting connection I want you to tell us about between Florida and California agriculture and the almond crop, for example. As they say in California, we call them almonds down here.
Yeah, well, the almond pollinators, when they go out there, Florida shipped right now about 240 semi-loads of bees out to there, which is roughly 120 to 130,000 hives of bees that went out to pollinate. That's really, if you think about it, about 10% of what the nation needs to send out there. And the value of a bee out there is roughly 1 cent. That's what they get paid. It'll actually, this year, it'll rise up a little bit. That was figured off of $150 a hive. So the value will probably be closer to 2.5 cents per bee. When you can get pollination done for that, I don't think we can pay migrant workers to go out there with the feather dusters and get it done. So.
Interesting, too, that the beekeeping industry is not across the board in agriculture. Some in agriculture don't want the bees around, and California's got an interesting, as an example of that, down in the Imperial Valley, I think you mentioned. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, actually, with your clementine, it's a seedless orange. They've actually outlawed the keeping of bees within a 2 mile radius of those orange groves. You think of Florida here, and actually in California, some of your best honey is actually orange blossom honey. And they're outlawing the keeping of bees around certain varieties. We don't produce them here in Florida, but those clementines, definitely they get more money if they're seedless. So they don't want seeds in them, and the bees cause that by pollinating.
So. I guess in the Imperial Valley, that makes for some interesting conversation between vegetable farmers and citrus farmers, I reckon.
Yeah, if you've got something that's needing pollinated right beside something that you don't want pollinated, that's a big turf battle there.
So. Seems when you talk colony collapse disorder and you hear it in the mainstream media whenever it makes a headline, they like to connect the pesticide issue to the problem, but it sounds like from y'all's research, it's far wider than that. And while pesticides, I guess, play a role, but you don't know how much of one.
Really, pesticides is a small part of the, you know, when you look at that pie, if you cut it up into 6 or 8 slices, it's a very minute amount. It's a sublethal dose, it seems to be. So it's hard to actually measure that part. Reason we say that is we can have beekeepers right beside beekeepers that are having collapses, and yet the next door neighbor's bees that are foraging on the same fields don't have those collapses. So it seems to be, you know, some sort of synergistical effect there. One may end up having Nosema, which is a microsporidium that's in the gut of the bee, and the other beekeeper doesn't. That may be one of the factors that you've got to look at, those joint 2 or 3 factors tying together.
So. And I guess that's where companies like these on the pesticide production side, as well as the sprayers in the field, applicators and the farmers, that's where you really need farmers to be understanding and be involved in that collaboration, I guess, to manage those kind of inputs so you can kind of eliminate that part of the problem through management.
Right. Actually, with Florida, with the new AES has set up a website that's called Bee Protection. And what they've done is joined the growers to the beekeepers to the chemical producers and allow them to communicate. It gives us a networking area that we can go to as beekeepers and see where the areas where they'll be using the neonicotinoids on young citrus. We are actually going, sooner or later, there'll be other agricultural properties in there that would be like row crops or blueberries where they use those same chemicals. So
we could talk about this a long time, but I'm about to wrap this up. When you're talking to a farm audience in particular in the Southeast, we call it the deep Southeast region here, and in particular in California, the number one ag state, what am I not asking that you want to push out there to that audience?
Probably the best thing to get out there to the audience is, well, that bee is out there doing her job. pollinating, flying, finding nectar, getting water, gathering the resins, or what we class as propolis. She is not out there protecting that flower. So as long as you don't mess with it, you can forget about the fear of honeybees. They protect their hive or guard their hive. So the biggest thing I think entomophobes have, as I like to call them, is the fear of being stung. So that bee does not guard or protect that flower. As a colony, they'll combine and guard their hive, just like us as humans. Normally, I'm not going to go out there and protect somebody's, you know, mailbox if it's not mine. So gotcha. That's the biggest thing. So
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.